Hello and welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Looking at a classic today, Ed. Gru the Wonder, number one by Sergio Aragonés, one of the all-time great cartoonists. Before we open this up, tell us about Red Room.
Murder on the Dark Web for fun and profit is the name of the game in the Red Room universe. It's my...
Do you ever use a sword in your Red Room yet?
I will, man. Issue 1 is on the stands right now. Issue 2 is off to the presses, and it's going to be a monthly comic. Every issue is going to be completely self-contained. So if you see an issue, grab an issue, get it put on your pull list, read them as they come out. If you want to pre-order the comics, hit up the Fantagraphics website directly by way of my link tree in the description below this video. You can also read the comics before they hit paper at my Patreon, patreon.com/edpiskor. 3 books will get you to the archive there. And I have well over 100 pages up there as we speak. That's more than 3 issues worth of comics.
Street Angel vs. Ninja Tech, one of the oversized deluxe hardcovers that Image published of my homeless ninja on a skateboard. This one, she goes after the ninja weapons manufacturer, Ninja Tech, who has been making deadly weapons that her enemies use on her. She doesn't like it and declares war on the ninja industrial complex. You can join me on patreon.com/jimrugg to see how I make Street Angel comics, how I make all of my comics. Lots of original art, scripts, notes, sketches, and basically the process behind how I do what I do. patreon.com/jimrugg, and you can find Ninja Tech wherever comics are sold. But we're here today, Ed, to talk about one of the longest-running creator-owned characters in comics, Gru the Wonderer, and starts in 1982 at Pacific Comics. We looked at Destroyer Duck recently, the Steve Gerber, Jack Kirby book, which had the first appearance in comics of Gru the Wonderer. And kind of awesome extra materials in this, where we see Sergio as a character in his comic.
Right.
And also an intro about Sergio. And he talks about, you know, this is a character that he would draw in his correspondence and in his sketches, and he really liked this barbarian character, but he did not want to give it to a comics company. And so it took a while before a deal showed up where he could retain ownership of that character. He had been thinking about Gru and drawing Gru sketches for a decade before Pacific shows up and allows him to keep ownership of this character. And when that happens, he's excited and ready to go with this.
So ridiculous how that's a novel idea, right? To not screw over a comic creator.
It's unbelievable that we're in the 80s. Like, you know, Sergio's working in the 60s for Mad Magazine. Like, there are decades of this guy doing comics here before he gets a chance to do this kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And this is the first real Sergio video that we're doing. And I feel like it's like a confession of sorts or whatever, because you and I, like, we know his work to be marvelous, fantastic cartooning, and it's taken for granted.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a guy that draws right in ink.
I think so.
Super fast. You know, he's known for San Diego putting on these quick draw shows with, I think, Scott Shaw and a couple of these guys that are like mainstays every year. But part of the reason he has that reputation is because you can watch him draw and it's just like magic. The way he does it quickly, it's funny. And, you know, wasting no time, you see all of these characters, all these barbarian characters that are chasing Gru, you know, from the get-go. Like I said, he's been drawing comics for decades at this point, but it's all there. It's this story is kind of bursting out of him when he gets a chance to finally draw Gru. And the story is a bunch of barbarians are after him trying to kill him, and he spends some time trying to figure out who would want to kill me, and has no shortage of contenders for that.
when you have a guy who draws directly in ink, the thing to really marvel at is like the weight distribution of the characters that he's drawing. They all feel really balanced, even down to the birds and stuff. Like, that takes a little work sometimes in pencil, where it's like you gotta figure out where to put the wings, for instance, or something, or just to get that weight balance right. And he just has that inherently. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's always wild to me, these guys that can just go right to paper and make things look great. Like, I was even trying to figure out lettering-wise. So Stan Sakai is the letterer here from Usagi Yojimbo. But it's like the lettering's perfect on these pages too, and I wonder, like, how on earth does that work?
Yeah, makes you wonder that there must be at least some basic layouts for Sakai to work with.
Yeah, and for Mark Evanier, who does the scripting, but he has an afterword in here as well, gives all story credit to Sergio Aragonés, but those two have worked together on a lot of projects, and I think it's a matter of English as a second language for Sergio, so have Mark Evanier kind of do the polish and make sure everything says what he wants it to say and works that way. But some really nice sequential sequences of like these panels going to nighttime while he's still hiding out and considering who's after him, and he comes up with the High Priest of Zumu is after him. You know, one of the things I love about Gru is he looks cool. Like, it's a funny comic, you know, it's cartoony, but you see, you know, like the muscular top and even the way he distributes the legs on the bottom, which goes back to the weight that you're talking about, Ed, I think sells it really well. Like, it's a clever figure construction.
He draws some hard shit. Like, yes. he's made, this is his comic, right? He gets to draw whatever he wants to draw, but he's such a good cartoonist that it's no challenge for him to do this little set piece here, man, where he's going to use a guy as a sponge to clean off this table fantastic. Full of people.
Yeah, it reads really clearly.
How do you draw that, right? Like, Sergio will show you.
I would hate it if I got a script that had this kind of drawing in it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man.
It's very funny. It makes it work.
I don't know if we passed the one page up. Maybe not. Where he's being challenged by some guy, and there's like, you know, there's body humor here. He like grabs the guy's junk.
Oh, yeah. We haven't. I don't think we've seen that yet. Yeah, I know exactly. This there is it. Yeah, and you see the aftermath. Even the lettering looks really fun after that.
I think the color is great here. Like, when you see those very complex pages, mm-hmm. why not just give it a splash of yellow?
It's smart, and in a way it shows off his line drawing really well, because you have these crowd scenes that it's essentially black and white art with your color parts, you know, focusing your attention. Pretty good stuff. So, goes through the scenario of one, look at these. I mean, come on. There's an artist edition of his work, too, and it's because of this kind of stuff. So, if you're an Aragonés fan, you can certainly find, you're well served by the comics industry in that regard.
The only orange on the page is Gru's outfit.
So he goes through this idea of, you know, the Priest of Zumu might be the guy who's after him. And he's sitting there and he keeps thinking and fooling around and realizes that, well, maybe it's the princess could be the one who's after him, because she sent him this message to deliver to some prince, you know, that's out there. So he takes off through the woods with this message and gets distracted by these mercenary buddies and takes a nap. He's tired from almost delivering the message. Whenever he wakes up, it's a full-on, full-scale battle that he just joins in gloriously. I like that part, too, that barbarian fight part. Even though, again, it's a funny comic, dudes are just getting cut apart. Stabbed, swords are sticking out of people. In this case, you get your blue color for this mass with red highlights for the blood.
Yeah, just little red blood dabs.
That's all you need. And in the middle of the dead and in the carnage, he finds the prince that he was supposed to deliver the message to, and we find out what that is. It's that this band of soldiers were sent by the king to kill this guy. Would have been really important information the day before.
I know that Gru will get you this warning in time.
I love you, my dear. And as the word balloon trickles off to nothing, it's a skull shape.
Genius.
Really good stuff. Really good cartooning. So Gru's kind of on the run. Everybody's after him, more or less, and gets hired by this group, this city that the soldiers are hanging out outside of the city, and they get drunk, and then they're pillaging and raping, and so they decide they're going to hire Gru to quiet this crowd. And, of course, turns out to be his friend. And, by the way, that friend is actually there to hunt down Gru.
Right.
Look at how good the friend is. With only, he's missing one eye, missing teeth. It's a fun characters. Feller. Yeah, man. It's one of the things I think Aragonés does well is these kinds of, where do you put your characterization in these drawings? You know, like everything's an opportunity to draw something funny, to distinguish one character from another, to get his humor on the page, even inserting himself into these things. So I feel like these little insertions point out how much fun he's having on these comics. And like you said, Ed, these are his comics. If he wants to put himself on the page, he can. Pretty fun. So that's your first issue story. 20 pages, the first installment of Gru. I'm going to keep flipping, but I just want to kind of note, you know, like a lot of stuff there in that first issue. Yeah. Kind of an epic.
Yeah, that's for sure. This is probably the first creator-owned subscription that probably bore fruit, where every issue came out, man.
Yeah, you may be right about that.
Can't think of another.
And also, by the way, how fun is this for, like, your subscription ad page art? It's a pretty detailed drawing.
I mean, he just flips them like flapjacks, dude.
Yeah, you're not going to find too many drawings by Sergio that aren't fun to look at. I like seeing the ads from this era of Pacific Comics, with Rocketeer being another one of those early creator-owned books that really stood out and made an impression on everybody.
They started off strong, man. They had freaking Kirby. Like, Sergio's first comics, really, like, he would do those, like, little couple panel things, but I don't think he really did much big comics work. He might have did stuff in Plop or whatever, but that's like one page silent thing, never a full issue of something.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Maybe had some stuff collected here and there, like in a paperback, like,
but
maybe
it, but
I don't
it would
know
be
if
that small stuff
true. Yeah, it would be. Yeah, he would do those margin drawings in Mad Magazine is one of the things I always think of him
so great
for. This is your Mark Evanier kind of giving us background on how this issue came together from his perspective, what his collaborations with Sergio are like, and would continue to do this to this day. I believe they still work together quite a bit.
Yeah.
Who else is at Pacific Comics? The King.
The King, man.
Silver Star and Captain Victory. Be interested in looking at both of those, maybe with a Tom Scioli guest appearance. But again, like, when Pacific Comics shows up and their idea is, let you own this, Jack Kirby. You know, you create this book. It's your book. You own it. We're just going to publish it for you. A lot of cartoonists were like, hell yeah. Neil Adams, I think, shows up at Pacific Comics early on. Scott Shaw, speaking of, kind of a contemporary of Sergio Aragonés. And backup features, because it's his book. Why not put in some of these short stories? This time, it's the Sage. So this smart guy shows up, and he's watching these hunters getting their asses handed to them, trying to kill one of these animals to eat it, and it's just not going well, man. They're getting destroyed by these giant creatures. So the Sage, he's not going to fight one of those creatures, but he's got some ideas. Let's build a catapult. Then you can fight them from a distance. The catapult gets done, and it's not quite working out the way he intended. Using people to launch from the catapult. You see them all buried, like, head deep in the ground. So, pretty fun stuff. Twisted Tales, one of the horror anthologies that Pacific would publish, written and edited by Bruce Jones. Art by Corbin, Brett Blevins, Tim Conrad, Alfred Alcala. These are books, all these Pacific comics, I feel like I will find in back issue bins and stuff here and there.
Right.
But these are pretty fun to pick up if you come across those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And ditto Alien Worlds. Feels like any time a new publisher would pop up, you would get some of these anthologies as a way to maybe get a book to the public quickly.
Sure, yeah.
Like
yeah.
When graphic novels took over in the early 2000s, one of the things that would happen are square-bound anthologies. Same kind of deal, man. It's a lot faster than one artist doing 150 pages.
Yes, sir. Fun stuff, man. Very happy to look through Gru. Like, I never read a Gru comic before.
Yeah, I know we took some heat from that on an early episode of Wizard Magazine, but I had never read this either, and I was excited whenever I found a copy. It's always fun to start from the beginning, but speaking of beginning, like, I feel like that's a cool cover, too, from the very get-go.
It's so interesting, like, it's such an odd thing to me. Like, it's Gru the Wanderer. Like we know Sergio Aragonés' work, and it's all sort of contemporary modern day kind of like little marginalia and stuff.
Yeah, that's the word for it.
And it's just so interesting that like this barbarian, this chunky barbarian thing is the thing that like captures his whimsy the most, to the point that he's done hundreds of issues of it or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue count is, but it is on that short list, you know? I mean, it's Stan Sakai's Usagi, you know? It's a very short list of creator-owned books that have over 100 issues under their belt. Gru, definitely one of those. Reminds me a little bit of something like Dave Sims' Cerebus starting out as a parody of Conan.
Except this just never got out of it. Like, how many times can you skin that cat, man?
Very true. I do wonder if it goes back to Conan, if that's something that Sergio got hold of early on. Comics, books, whatever the case may be, that the barbarian thing, you know, caught his eye. It's also funny because those swords don't look like barbarian
swords. They're samurai swords.
Exactly. But it kind of works.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, obviously, several hundred issues later, it kind of works.
I'm good if you're good, Jimmy.
Yes.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. What's out there, man?
Join me on patreon.com/JimRug, where you can download my out-of-print, hard-to-find zines and mini-comics. You can see my original art and how I make Street Angel and Octobriana and Aphrodisiac and so much more at patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room Issue 1 out on the stands today. Issue 2 is off to the presses. It's going to be a monthly comic, and every issue stands on its own. So if you see an issue of Red Room, grab an issue of Red Room. You're not going to get lost in continuity or anything like that. You can read the comics ahead of time at my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiscor. You could pre-order the comics from Fantagraphics. These links are in my link tree in the description below this video.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have planned for this year. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give them another set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.